and Melody with Matt Taylor. Sunday mornings at 9 Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA, the home of the big bands.
The sigh that you no longer care. The breeze and I are whispering goodbye to dreams we used to share. Ours was a love song that constant as the moon, ending in a strange, mournful tune. And all about me, they know you have departed without me, and we wonder why the breeze and I. Parted without me, and we wonder why the breeze and I, the breeze and I.
He hung up his coat and his hat. He gazed all around, but no wifey he found. So he said, where can Flossie be at? A note on the table he spied. He read it just once, then he cried. It ran, Louis dear, it's too slow for me here, so I think I will go for a ride. Meet me in St. Louis, meet me at the fair. Don't tell me the lights are shining any place but there. We will dance the hoochie coochie. I will be your tootsie woopsie if you will meet me in St. Louis, Louis. Meet me.
Any place but there.
We will dance the hoochie coochie. Hoochie. I will be your Tootsie Whoopsie
if you will meet me in St. Louis, Louis.
Under the moon, underneath the bright silvery light, you'll be feeling better soon. Take up your hat, close up your flap, get out and get under the moon.
Look, look, look at the stars above. Look, look, look at those sweeties of old. Give me a night in June.
All you gotta do any old night when you're feeling out of tune, take up your hat, close up your flap, get out and get under the moon.
Every Every day you seem to be nearer to me, dearer to me. My love for you is like the great elation that Shelley knew when he found inspiration. You can never change it now, for it's immortal, my love.
to be tied. Jenny Sims, tie 'em up, child.
I'm fit to be tied. I'm burning inside. Just the thought of losing you makes me cry, makes me blue, and I'm fit to be tied. I'm fit to be tied. No hiding my pride. Blame no one but myself, I'm so mad at myself, I'm fit to be tied. Forever and ever I'll say, I'm sorry I made you so blue. Forever and ever I'll pay, for hurting somebody like you, I'm fit to be tied. And there's something inside, and it pounds and it beats and it beats and repeats till I'm fit to be tied.
Sports. I love the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, all the pageantry, and I wanted to keep playing. But I graduated. No colleges called, and neither did the pros. So, to stay close to the game I loved, I decided to become a high school official. You know, a referee. When I played high school sports, I learned the importance of integrity, good sportsmanship, and respect for the rules. Now, as a high school official, I get to help model these same values to others. Maybe the colleges and the pros didn't call, but the kids did. And now, I'm enjoying the competition, the camaraderie, the bands, the crowds, and all the pageantry of high school sports all over again.
Learn more about the Sequoia Union High School District at SEQ.org. That's SEQ.org.
kiss me? How can you make me care this way? It isn't fair for you to want me if it's just for a day. It isn't fair for you to thrill me. Why do you do the things you do? It isn't fair for you to fill me with those dreams that can't come true, dear. Why is it you came into my life and you made it complete? You gave me just a taste of high life. If this is love, then I repeat, it isn't fair for you to taunt me. How can you make me care this way? It isn't fair for you to want me if it's just for today.
Greatest songs by the greatest artists? We do. Big Band 89.1 KCEA. Online at kcea.org. The home of the big bands.
shake of Araby. Your love belongs to me. At night when you're asleep, into your tent I creep. The stars that shine above
Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of the Sequoia High School Cherokees, online at kcea.org. Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. On this edition of Yesteryear, a real treat for you. It's the Lux Radio Theater presentation of The Thin Man, starring William Powell and Myrna Loy in the very first broadcast from Hollywood, California. The Lux Theater was first heard on NBC in October of 1934, dramatizing a mixture of movie and Broadway plays from New York. But less than a year after its arrival on the air, the Lux Theater began to sag. Given the job of making a change was Denny Danker. The agency hired Cecil B. DeMille as producer-host, and the rest, as they say, is history. DeMille never did direct the Lux Radio Theater in a real sense. He simply hosted it as an easy way to make a quick $2,000 per program. The show was dropped by CBS after the broadcast of June 28, 1954, later revived by NBC in September of that year as a Tuesday night offering. The final curtain would ring down on the Lux Radio Theater in June of 1955. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with
The Lux Radio Theater, and The Thin Man, starring William Powell and Myrna Loy, from June 8th of 1936. Another classic show from the golden age of radio, here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, volio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
Hollywood, California. The Lux Radio Theater, presented from its new home on Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood, California. Lux presents Hollywood. Such great personalities as William Powell, Myrna Loy, W.S. Van Dyke, Leda Barra, James Seymour, Minna Gumble, Porter Hall, and many others will take part in this presentation sent to you by the makers of Lux Toilet Soap. Appearing before a distinguished Hollywood audience, Mr. Powell, Miss Loy, and a cast of 18 great players present the play that has broken box office records from coast to coast, The Thin Man. And as producer tonight, we present the director who did The Thin Man on the screen, together with such triumphs as Naughty Marietta, Trader Horn, Rosemarie, I Live My Life, and countless other smash hit pictures, Mr. W.S. Van Dyke. Mr. Van Dyke.
Hello, everybody. Well, it's a great scene at the Lux Radio Theater tonight. In our audience, we have Betty Davis, Jimmy and Lucille Gleason, Bob Armstrong, Ole Olson of Olson & Johnson, Stu Irwin, Jimmy Starr, famous communist, Evelyn Venable, Mr. and Mrs. Leon Schlesinger. Maybe it would interest you on a little inside information on the show we're doing tonight, The Thin Man, and about William Powell and Myrna Loy, who are going to do it for you. As you know, The Thin Man was a best-selling novel by Dashiell Hammett. Hans Stromberg, down at the studio, MGM, got a hold of it and brought it to me. Woody, he said, if you'll make this picture, I'll buy the story. Well, I read it, and while it was a good enough mystery story, there was something else about the book that struck me. Here was something new and fresh and very charming, a romance between a man and his wife. It's a story of a couple of kids that understood each other and had a blessed confidence in each other. Beneath all the casualness and all the wisecracking, there's a lovely, wholesome relationship, something really deep and sweet and inspiring. Well, we decided to make the picture. Albert Hackett and Francis Goodrich wrote a swell script. William Powell and Myrna Loy played the parts. And how? They played them beautifully, because Powell was just Powell and Loy was just Loy. Both of them wise, cracking all the time, and clowning right through the picture. I suppose you know that plenty of motion pictures take from 2 months to a year to shoot. We did The Thin Man in 16 days, retakes and all. Of course, it wasn't a pretentious picture. We didn't make it as one. I hate epics. But it is evident that people liked it. It has been very interesting to study out how they can tell this story on the radio. Bill and Myrna have had a lot of fun getting it ready for you, just as they did making the picture. And from the original story, from the original motion picture cast, we have, and are fortunate in having, Minna Gumble, Porter Hall, William Henry, and Thomas Jackson here tonight. So here we go, with William Powell and Nick Charles, and Myrna Loy as Nora in The Thin Man. Here they come, Bill Powell and Myrna Loy. We're in a fashionable cafe, Montmartre, New York City. It's Christmas Eve, and the well-appointed dining room is filling rapidly. From the bar comes a good-looking young fellow of about 35, tall, casual, and worldly-wise. He's Nick Charles, the well-known private detective, played by William Powell. And he's waiting for his charming wife, Nora, played by Myrna Loy. As he takes his place at the table, a young girl on the other side of the room recognizes him and hurries over.
you Mr. Nick Charles, the detective?
Yes, I'm Nick Charles.
I thought I recognized you. My name is Dorothy Wynan.
Oh, yes? How do you do?
Do you mind if I sit down for
a moment? No, but I'm expecting my wife a few minutes. You don't mind explaining your presence to her?
Oh, of course. That's my fiancé over there at the other table.
Oh, well, that makes everything all right, doesn't it? Sit down.
Thank you.
Your name is,
Dorothy Wynan. I'm Clyde Wynan's daughter.
Clyde Wynan, sir. Oh, yes, of course. Your father was having some trouble about one of his inventions a few years ago. I handled the case for him.
I know. That's why I want to speak to you now.
Oh. Well, I'm not practicing anymore, Miss Wynette. You see, I retired.
Mr. Charles, I need you.
Oh. What seems to be the trouble?
It's Dad. He went away about 3 months ago, and I haven't heard from him. Not a word. I'm worried sick.
Oh, I wouldn't if I were you. After all, he's an inventor. He gets an idea he wants to work on. It's only natural that he should hide away somewhere. He's done it before.
Yes, but never for 3 months.
Did you see him before he left?
No. Mr. McCauley was the only one he spoke to. Well, McCauley and Julia Wolfe. She's Dad's secretary.
Julia Wolfe. Yes, I believe I've met her. And McCauley is your father's lawyer, isn't he?
Yes.
His lawyer and his secretary both speak to him before he leaves, but no one knows where he went.
He wouldn't tell them.
What about your mother? He wouldn't tell her either?
No. Mother and Dad aren't... They haven't seen each other for some time.
Oh, I see. Well, I don't know just what I can do for you. Why don't you speak to McCauley? Maybe he's heard from your father and forgotten to let you know.
Oh, well, I'll call him now.
That's a girl. Let me know how it turns out, will you?
Of course. I'll be back in a few minutes.
I'll be here.
Madam, you can't bring that dog in here. Dogs aren't allowed. I'm sorry, but
I'll be here. Aster. Aster, come here, boy. Here. Down,
yeah,
boy.
But madam,
down.
It isn't only your dog. We allowed everyone.
Oh, here you are.
Aster. Quiet, Aster. Quiet. Hello, Nora. I hear you brought the dog.
I didn't bring him. He brought me. I think the doorman's mad.
Madam, I'm afraid you have to take the dog outside.
It's all right, Joe. It's my dog and my wife.
You might have mentioned me first.
But, Mr. Charles, are you sure that...
Of course I'm sure. He's well-trained. He'll behave himself.
And nobody might bite someone.
Oh, no. Only me, Joe. He only bites me.
Yes, he's fussy about what he eats.
Go ahead, Joe. I'll be responsible for it.
Very well, sir. If you say so, sir.
There you are, my dear. See what an influential husband you've got?
You do stand in with doorman.
Mr. Charles.
Oh, yes, Dorothy?
May I introduce my fiancé, Andy Reed, Mr. Charles?
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
Any luck, Dorothy?
Yes, he's just around the corner.
Your father?
No, no, Mr. McCauley.
We're going to see him now.
Oh, fine, fine.
Oh, Nick?
Yes, my dear? Oh, I beg your pardon. Miss Wynette, Mr. Reed, my wife.
How do you do? How do you do? I'm sorry we have to rush, but you'll excuse us, Mr. Charles.
Of course.
We're to Normandy for a couple of weeks. Why don't you drop around?
Thanks, we will. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. Goodbye, Mr. Charles.
Goodbye. Pretty girl.
You like blonde.
You got tight?
Only you, darling. Lanky brunettes with wicked jaws.
Who is she?
Dorothy Wynan, daughter of Clyde Wynan. I work on a case for her father. Some nut wanted to kill him.
Charming. What's the matter now?
Wynan's disappeared. Dorothy's afraid something happened to him.
Has anything happened to him?
My darling wife. How do I know? Funny, though. That secretary of his ought to know something.
Secretaries usually do. Who is she?
Julia Wolfe. Smart girl, Julia. I always suspected she had some kind of hold on Wynan. That's why he kept her on.
Maybe you ought to give her a ring.
What for?
Oh, just to say hello.
Maybe.
Want a nickel?
No, 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 I've got one. I'll be right back. Hello? I want Skylar, 40962. No, Skylar. That's right, 40962.
Hello? Yes, Joe Lubov speaking. Who? Oh. Oh, hello, Mr. Charles. Yes? Well, what was it you wanted to... Oh. Oh, no, I don't. He didn't tell me. Not a word. I'm sorry. Well, that's all right. Goodbye. Morelli.
Coming. Well, who was that?
Nick Charles.
The detective?
He wanted to know where Wynan was.
Oh, yeah? Why?
He didn't say.
Did anyone see Wynette come here that night? The night you and him had the scrap?
I don't know.
Oh, no? Well, I guess I'll scram.
Wait a minute, Morelli. Where are you going?
Oh, taking a little stroll, that's all. If Nick Charles is going to pop up around here, I want to be far away when he does.
Oh, don't be a fool, Morelli.
Fool, huh? Hey, listen, sister, I got a record 9-inch and to come face to face with no Dick.
Sit down, Morelli. You need money, don't you?
Yeah. What about it? You got some?
Plenty. I'm Wynan's secretary.
Oh, you? Yeah? What do you mean by that?
Wouldn't you like to know? Your friend Pierre serves good dinners, Nick.
Uh-huh, all right.
You still didn't tell me what Julia Wolf had to say.
Nothing. She didn't know where he was, that's all. Finished?
Finished.
Let's get out. We'll grab a cab and get back to the hotel.
Ready and willing. Where's my purse? Come on, Esther.
Joe, call me cab.
Hello? Hello? Esther, be quiet. Stop it. Hello? Yes? Who is it? Oh, he is. I see. Thank you. Oh, Nick?
Yeah?
It's Mr. McCauley. He's on his way up.
McCauley? I wonder what he wants.
Isn't he Wynan's lawyer?
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some news.
Well, he ought... Say, you're worrying an awful lot about this business. Forget it.
I'll open it.
I beg your pardon.
I'm Mrs. Charles. Come in, Mr. McCauley.
Hello, McCauley.
Well, hello, Charles. Well, how are you?
Fine. Sit down.
Thanks. Dorothy told me you were here. I took the liberty of coming to see you.
Of course.
Charles, what's Mimi up to?
Mimi? Oh, Dorothy's mother. Does she have to be up to something?
She usually is, trying one way or another to get money out of Wynette. I wanted to find out if you were, sleuthing for her.
I haven't been a detective 4 years.
Oh, you don't say.
Oh, my wife's father died and left her a lumber mill, the narrow gauge railroad, and, a couple of other things. I'm looking after them.
I see, I see.
What's all the fuss about? Is Wynette in hiding?
Yeah, you know as much about it as I do. I haven't seen him in 3 months. He sends word through Julie Wolf when he wants money. I give it to her, and she gives it to him.
Mine? Hello? Oh, just a moment, please. It's for you, Mr. McCauley. Your office.
Oh, thank you. Hello? What? He is? Well, where is he? Well, very well. Well, he's back in town.
Mr. Wynan?
Yes, thank heaven. He's waiting for me now. Well, I've got to rush. I'll tell you, it's no joke working for a man like that. Oh, goodbye, Mr. Charles. Goodbye, Charles.
Hello?
Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Almost Christmas, darling.
If that's a hint, you can drop it. You get your present at breakfast, not a minute before.
See? You know, Nick, I've been thinking. It's funny the way Wyatt popped up all of a sudden.
Yes. Wasn't it?
You think there's anything behind it?
Why should there be?
Well, I don't know. It just strikes me as being funny, that's all. You're nearer than I am, darling.
Hello? Speaking. Oh, hello, Dorothy. What? What? When? Oh, I see. Well, yes, of course I'll be here.
What is it, darling? Darling, what is it?
Julia Wolf has just been murdered.
You are listening to William Powell and Myrna Loy and the story of the Thin Man from the stage of the Lux Radio Theater in Hollywood Boulevard.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
And now on with the show of the Thin Man. An hour has gone by since Nick heard about the murder of Julia Wolf. In the living room of their suite at the hotel, Nick and Nora are listening to the radio. A news reporter is broadcasting the latest developments of the case.
And here's the latest news of the Julia Wolf murder. The police have found out that the beautiful blonde secretary was the gangster's girl and is spreading the dragnet for one Joe Morelli, said to be hiding out somewhere in the city. In Paris today, the Chamber of Deputies...
Never mind the Chamber of Deputies. Joe Morelli, that's what I want to know about. Well, did you get any more information out of headquarters?
As much as they had. Julia Wolf was shot and killed about 9 or 9:30. Body discovered on the floor of her living room a little after 11.
Who discovered it?
That'll surprise you. Mimi Winant.
Doris's mother?
Right.
What was she doing there?
I don't know.
Where's Clyde Winant?
Still missing.
Missing? But McCauley was going to see him. They had an appointment.
I spoke to McCauley. Winant never showed up. Nobody knows where he is.
It's going to be pretty tough on Dorothy, isn't it?
Meaning what?
Meaning that it looks as if Clyde Winant skipped one appointment in order to keep another with Julia Wolf.
You think he killed her?
Oh, it's just a guess. You're the detective around here, darling.
Oh, that's Dorothy. Said you wanted to see me. There, come in, Dorothy.
Thank you. Is anyone here?
That's Nora. Have a seat.
Oh. Hello, Dorothy. I'm sorry for breaking in on you like this.
Oh, that's all right. We're used to it.
Anything wrong?
Julia Wolf is dead.
Yes, we know that.
Here's the gun she was shot with.
What are you trying to tell me? That you did it?
Yes. I hated her. She kept me from seeing my father. I went down there to ask her where he was. She wouldn't tell me. I shot her.
Where did you hit her?
Why, in the heart.
Pretty good shot you are. What did she do?
She fell down.
Did she make any sound? Didn't scream?
I don't know.
Which way did she fall?
She fell over backwards.
Oh, yes? People fall toward a shot, you know, not back from it. I knew you were lying.
Oh.
All right, come on, now, brace up. Where did you get this gun?
I bought it in a pawn shop.
I thought so. Why did you say you did it? Whom are you trying to shield?
Oh, please, don't ask me.
You've got to tell me.
Nick, let me handle this, will you? Dorothy, look at me. Nick is trying to help you. Why don't you help him? You were trying to shield your mother, weren't you?
No.
Your father, then. Dorothy.
Yes. My father.
Why do you think he did it?
Mother was the first one to find Julia Wolf. She saw something in Julia's hand and she took it.
What was it?
A watch chain. It belonged to my apartment.
So you think your father did it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did your mother turn the chain over to the police?
No, she kept it. She didn't tell them anything about it.
But she showed it to you.
Yes.
Why did your mother go to Julia Wolf's apartment in the first place?
She went to ask for money.
Oh, money again, huh? Yes? Have him come up, please.
Who is it?
Dorothy, I wonder if you'd mind waiting in the bedroom.
Of course.
It'll be only a minute.
Well, Nick?
It's Mimi Winant.
Alone?
She's never alone. Dorothy's brother is with her. Screwy college kid. And some guy by the name of Chris Jorgensen.
Jorgensen? Who's he?
McCauley told me about him. A hanger-on type. I think he's after Mimi's dough.
But she hasn't any.
Maybe that's why she wanted to get some from Julia. I'll take it. Hello?
Nick, how old are you?
Fine. Come in, Mimi.
Thank you, Nick. This is my son, Gilbert.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
And Mr. Chris Jorgensen, he's an old friend of mine.
How do you do? How do you do?
Sit down. Sit down. My wife.
How do you do?
Winant, Gilbert Winant, and Mr. Jorgensen.
How do you do?
Well, Mimi?
Nick, I've never been in such a state in my life. You know, of course, that I was the one who found Julia Wolf.
So we've heard.
Oh, my dear, it was terrible. I walked in and there she was, lying dead on the floor.
I meant to ask you, Mother, was there much blood?
Gilbert, don't be so morbid.
But I'm interested in murders. You know, Mr. Charles, I formed a theory about this one already.
That's so.
In my opinion, the man who did it...
Was... Gilbert, be quiet. You don't know anything about it.
Oh, but I do.
Be quiet.
You were saying, Mrs. Winant,
about finding Julia Wolf. I was simply petrified, and such a mystery. Clyde Winant's crazy, absolutely crazy to stay away at a time like this. No wonder the police think he had something to do with it.
What do you think?
Oh, I know he didn't, but I wish I could find him. I have something very important to tell him. And Macaulay won't help at all. He thinks I just want money.
Well, don't you?
Oh, Nick, you're always teasing.
Mrs. Wyland, were you alone when you found Julie Wolfe?
Why, of course I was. Wasn't Mr. Jorgensen with you?
I? Certainly not. I don't know anything about it. The first word I had that Julia Wolfe was dead was when Mrs. Wyland called me at my club.
Oh, she called you?
Yes.
Why?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, let's not even talk about it. The thing to do is to find Clyde. And that's what I've come to you for, Nick. You will help me find him, won't you?
I'm afraid I can't, Mimi.
Oh, Nick, please.
Now, Mimi, there are 1,000 detectives in New York. Hire one of them.
But Clyde knows you. All you have to do is to get in touch with him and tell him that Mimi says everything is all right, but that I've got to see him.
I tell you again, I don't want any part of it.
Is that final?
Final.
Well, if that's the way you feel...
You'll turn up. You just help all you can. Give the police every possible assistance.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing in particular.
Oh. Well, we'll say goodnight.
Good night. I'm sorry I can't help you, Mimi.
Hello. Is this the Normandy Hotel? I want to speak to Mr. Charles. Yeah, Nick Charles. Hello, Mr. Charles. Say, I'm sorry I woke you up. But, Mr. Charles, I'd like to lay a proposition before you. It's about the murder of Julia Wolfe. Well, what's the difference who I am? Well, wait a minute. All right. Wait a minute. Don't hang up. I'll tell you who I am, but you got to keep it under your hat. I'm Al Nunheim. Yeah, Nunheim. Now listen, I know who murdered Julia Wolfe, see? Sure I do. And I'll spill it to you for $5,000. I'll tell you how I know, because I was outside of her apartment when she was shot. And I saw the one who did it. And I'll spill it to you when I get... Hey, wait a minute. Hey, I can't talk now. I'll call you again.
Hello? Hello? Hello, are you still there? Hello? Well, for the...
Now what's on?
I don't know. I'm crank, I guess. He hung up. And you better get back to bed and get some sleep.
Are you asleep?
Yes.
Good. I want to talk to you.
That's jolly.
Don't you think you'd like to go back to detecting once in a while just for the fun of it?
Can't you get to sleep?
No. Everybody says you were a grand detective.
They were kidding you.
I'd like to see you work.
Tomorrow I'll buy you a whole lot of detective stories.
Oh, that poor girl's in an awful spot.
There's nothing I can do to help her.
She thinks you can. It wouldn't hurt you to find out if you could, would it?
Darling... My guess is that Wynant killed Julia and Dorothy knows it. And the police will catch him without my help. Now, please put out the light. I'm tired.
Oh, all right. But I'm mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear a knock?
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Astor. You want to answer it, Nick?
Oh, good Lord.
All right, stay in bed. I'll do it myself. Well?
Mr. Charles here.
Yes?
I gotta talk to him right away.
What about?
What's going on?
There's someone to see you, Nick.
That's great. I was afraid I'd have to go to sleep. Come in.
Yeah.
How about a chair, Mr.
Stay where you are, both of you. I got you covered, so don't move.
A stick-up?
No, it ain't a stick-up. I gotta talk to you, Mr. Charles. I want you to tell me something, and I want you to give it to me straight. You get me?
Do you mind putting that gun down? My wife doesn't care, but I'm a very nervous person. Thank you. All right, shoot. What's on your mind?
You don't need to tell me you're tough. I heard about you. I'm Joe Morelli.
I've never heard about you.
I didn't bump off Julia.
All right, you didn't.
I haven't seen her in 3 months. We were all washed up.
Why tell me?
I wouldn't have any reason to hurt her. She was always on the up and up with me. But that dirty little rat, Nunheim, well, he got sore because she liked me and hated him. So he put the finger on me.
That's all very swell, brother, only you're peddling your fish in the wrong market. I've got nothing to do with it.
Now, listen. The boys used to say that you were okay, a square guy. Now, that's why I'm here. What's the law doing to me? Do they think I did it? Or is it just something else to pin on me?
I'd tell you if I knew, but I'm not in on this. Ask the police.
Now, that'd be very smart. The boys would love to have me come in and ask questions. They'd like it right down to the end of their blackjacks. Now, I came to you on the level. The boys say you're on the level. Be on the level.
I'm on the level. If I knew anything, I'd be...
Who's that?
I don't know. This is your party.
Open up. Open up. Here's the police.
The police? Dirty two-timer.
Look out, Nora.
Oh!
Give me that gun.
You rat, I'll show you.
Drop that gun. Drop it.
You'll come across me, will you?
Come on, drop it. Give it to me. Give me the gun.
Grab it. Let me go, I said.
I'll take that gun.
Thanks, officer. You almost had me.
Get some water, Joe.
Nora. Are you all right, Nora?
I'm Inspector Gill of the Homicide Squad.
You're in a good place, Inspector.
Who's that woman on the floor?
My wife.
This guy's shooter?
No, he tried to shoot me. I stalked her in the jaw to get her out of the line of fire. I guess I hit her too hard. Nora.
Oh.
Look at me, Nora. Are you all right, darling?
Oh. You darn fool. You didn't have to knock me out. I knew you'd take him, but I wanted to see you do it.
She's all right.
Okay, Slattery. Take Morelli downstairs.
Hey, come on,
Morelli. Don't push.
Come on. I said don't push.
How'd you people have to pop in, Inspector?
Well, yeah, this is getting to be a sort of a meeting place for the Winans family. So we figured we'd stick around in case the old man himself shows up. Then we seen Morelli sneak in, and we decided to come up. And it was pretty lucky for you, too.
Yeah.
Morelli, a friend of yours?
I never saw him before.
What's he want of you?
Wanted to tell me he didn't kill Julia Wolfe.
What's that to you?
Nothing.
What did he think it was to you?
Ask him. I don't know.
I'm asking you.
Keep on asking.
Oh, so you're going to keep mum, huh? All right, Mr. Charles. I won't bother you tonight, but I'll be in tomorrow morning, and I'll have plenty of things to ask. Good night.
Thank you, Inspector Gill. Next time you come, try to stay longer. Nick, wake up. It's Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Look, here's a telegram for you. It just came.
Open it, will you? Probably a touch from somebody. Well?
Nick.
What is it?
It's from Clyde Winans. Listen. Will you take charge of investigation on Julia Wolfe murder? Communicate with Herbert McCauley. Clyde Winans.
Where's it from?
Philadelphia. Then he didn't do it, did he, Nick?
I don't know. Communicate with McCauley, huh? All right, we'll ask him up here this morning.
There you are, McCauley. What do you think?
Well, he wants you to handle the case.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, what are the chances of you doing it?
Slim.
Oh, please, Nick.
Quiet, dear. I wish you would, Mr. Charles. Would it help any if I could persuade him to meet you?
It might.
I had word from Winant myself last night. He gave me a code message to insert in the newspapers in case I wanted to get in touch with him.
It wouldn't do any harm to put it in.
I'm sure you could clear this up.
Oh, Winant will only come back. It doesn't look well he's staying away at a time like this.
Yes? Oh, just a minute. For you, Mr. McCauley. Police Department.
Police Department? Hello? Where? In Allentown. Yes. Well, when's the next train? Right. I'll get that.
Well?
Winans tried to commit suicide. They want him to go down and identify him.
Well, I guess this changes the whole story, doesn't it? That looks like an admission of guilt. I had such hopes. I thought if you got on this case... Well, it's no use thinking about it now. Well, I'm sorry to have wasted so much of your time. You'll excuse me, won't you?
Course.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that's that.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, the mystery's all gone. And I wanted you to find out who did it.
Maybe I will.
But why not?
I don't believe he did it.
Why don't you?
No reason. That's fine. But I'm going to find out. Come on, Dr. Watson. We're going places. I want to speak to Inspector Gill.
Man to man, Mr. Charles. Are you working on this case?
Man to man, Inspector Gill, I'm not.
But he's interested.
I don't mind telling you, I'd rather have you in on the right side.
You mean not on Wyman's side?
I'd rather have you working with us than against us.
So would I.
It's a bargain, then. Do you know about the case?
I read the paper. What about the suicide?
Oh, that's a phony. The men didn't even have to go down.
Yeah, I thought it might be. From now on, they're going to think that every thin man over 6 feet with white hair is Wyman.
Do you think that Wyman did it?
It looks like he planned something. He shut up his apartment and his shop. But there's nothing yet to clinch it.
50 will get you 100 that Wyman didn't do it.
Who's your candidate?
I haven't got that far yet. I don't think that everything points to Wyman. What about the alibis?
They're all okay. Mrs. Wyman, the boy, Dorothy, McCauley, even Morelli.
What about Jorgensen?
Hmm? Oh, I'll check on that. Well, I'm afraid this is kind of dull for you, Mrs. Charles.
Dull? I'm sitting on the edge of my chair.
Frankly, I'm stunned. I don't know what to do next. What about you, Charles?
Me? No, but I've got a hunch.
What is it?
I got a call last night. I thought it was from a crank, but I changed my mind. Whoever it was knew something, and I've got a feeling I'll hear from him again. What time is it?
Almost 10. Still waiting to hear from the crank?
And how? Here, give me that quick. Hello? Yes? Ed, this is Nick Charles. Who? Can't hear you. I said I can't hear you. I have to speak louder.
I can't speak any louder. Say, this is Al Nunheim again. You know, I called you last night.
Hey, listen.
Are you still interested in that proposition?
Yeah, huh? All right, then. Now, here's the dope.
And get this straight. The man who killed Julia Wolf...
Gil, you think Wynant killed Julia Wolf and Nunheim?
Right.
Why?
Two reasons. First off, Mimi Wynant came across with a watch chain. She plucked off Julia's body.
Oh, she did, huh?
It belonged to Clyde Wynant.
Yeah. What's the second reason?
A pip. The bullet that killed Nunheim came from the same gun.
That's all right, Inspector.
All right. It's perfect. Clyde Wynant is guilty of both those murders.
Maybe.
What?
50 will still get you 100. I say Wynant's innocent.
You can say what you want. But I'm spreading a dragnet for that guy over every town in these United States. And I'll get him, too.
Calling all cars, calling all cars, cover all roads, leaving city, pick up Clyde Wyman, tall, thin man, last seen wearing dark blue suit, Clyde Wyman.
You think they'll find him, Nick? He must be in New York.
Yeah, probably is.
Oh, it's getting me down. I saw Dorothy today.
Yeah? What?
She's broken off her engagement.
What for?
Oh, don't ask me. She was a little hysterical. Something about not wanting to ruin her fiancé's life. Daughter of a murderer and all that.
Oh, poor kid. Well, see you later, darling.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm going to take Oscar for a walk.
He's just been for a walk.
We're going sightseeing, aren't we, Esther?
Nick, what are you up to?
I've got a hunch. I'm going down to look at Wyman's shop. I want to find out why it's closed.
Well, why shouldn't he close it? He went away.
He went away lots of times when I knew him, but he never closed his shop. I've got to hunt something up.
You mean he might be hiding there?
I don't know, but this thing's got my goat. I've got to find out.
Nick, I won't have you going down there at this hour of the night. He's a crazy man. He might kill you.
He'll be all right. I've got Asta to protect me.
All right, go on. Go on, see if I care. But it's a dirty trick bringing me all the way to New York just to make me a widow.
You wouldn't be a widow long.
You bet I wouldn't.
Not with all your money.
You dog.
Goodbye, darling.
Nicky, take care of yourself, won't you?
Sure, I will.
Don't say it that way. Say it as if you meant it.
Why, I believe that every woman cares.
I don't care. I'm just used to you, that's all.
Sure. Come on, darling. Come on, Esther. Come on, come on.
Goodbye. Call me, darling, please. I'll be waiting to hear from you. Esther. Esther, if you let anything happen to him, you'll never wag that tail again.
are listening to the Lux Radio Theater's production of The Thin Man, starring William Powell and Myrna Loy, with the music under the direction of Louis Silvers. This is W.S. Van Dyke speaking.
We pause for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with yesteryear.
The Thin Man. Nick is on his way to Clyde Wynan's deserted laboratory in a dark and desolate section of the city. His cab veers sharply around the corner and pulls up in front of a gloomy, old, rickety building.
Say, mister, are you sure this is the place you wanted?
Looks like it. Come on, Esther, jump. How much owe you?
$1.20. Or do you want me to wait?
No, never mind.
Oh, that's good. You know, this ain't no neighborhood to be in at 2 o'clock in the morning. I want to get out of here.
There you are.
Thanks. Hello. Come on, Esther. Come on, what's up with you?
Hello.
Nora, what are you doing here?
I beat you down. I want to go with you, Nick.
Now, listen.
No. You're not going in that place alone, and that settles it. Now get out that skeleton key of yours and open that door. I'm here to stay.
All right, come on. Step.
Dog. Nice neighborhood Wynan picked out for his laboratory. I can almost hear the chains rattling. Do you believe in ghosts, Nicky?
Shh. There we are. Come in. Be quiet.
Nicky, it's dark in here.
Yeah, I've got a flashlight. We'll close the door. Shh. Esther, shut up. Go on, Nora.
Which way?
Straight ahead. Can we get the layout of the place?
Looks awfully big to me. You can't even see into the corner.
And don't let the shadows frighten you.
Who's frightened?
Now, hold it.
What's the matter?
This looks like Wynan's work table.
More like a slab in a morgue. Look, Nick. There's a cement floor all around.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of weight goes on that table. Come on.
Where to now?
There's an old desk over there by the wall. I want to take a look at it.
What do you expect to find?
Darling, if I knew what I'd find, I wouldn't be...
Nick. What was it, Nick?
It's just a loose board, I guess.
It sounds like somebody was walking over that way.
Oh, just your imagination. There's no one in here but us.
No? What about Wynan? This is his workshop. Why couldn't he be hiding out here? What's that?
Asta. Asta, come here. Scratching on the cement around the work table. Asta, stop it. Stop it. Did you hear what I said, Asta?
Take a look at him. He's after something. I've seen him scratch the ground like that when he was looking for...
Asta. Asta. Nora, look. Look at this. New cement. Listen.
Nick.
It's hollow. I wonder if I could find something to dig it up.
There's an iron bar on the table. I just saw it.
Ah, good. Now, if I just knock a hole in that cement, we'll find out what's under there.
Oh, Nick, I'm scared.
Asta, quiet. You can keep away, Nora.
Asta, come here.
Once more. There she goes. I'm through the cement.
Nick.
Asta, get away from there. Get away.
Nick, what is it? What's he after?
We must get Inspector Gill here.
What's under there?
A body. Must have been there for weeks.
Oh, Nick.
Wait now, you reporters. You'll get your story as soon as I can give it to you. Until then, you got to leave this alone. Come on now, get out. Those reporters are enough to drive a guy nuts. Well, you were right, Nick. It was a body. A skeleton, rather, buried in lime. I wonder what Wynan had against this one.
Did you find any clothes?
Yeah, but no identification on them. Just a silver belt buckle with the initials D.W.R.
D.W.R. Who is that?
I got a good idea. That case you worked on, the guy who threatened to kill Wynan. What was his name?
Oh, Rosewater.
Yeah, Rosewater. He said Wynant tried to steal an invention, didn't he?
Yes, but we figured it was just blackmail.
Just the same, Wynant wouldn't mind having him out of the way, would he? And according to the doc, the body's been there at least a couple of months.
Hmm. That's just about the time Wynant closed the shop.
Right.
Did you put the skeleton under the fluoroscope yet?
Half an hour ago. We found the bullet he was killed with and something in the leg bone. An old piece of shrapnel.
Shrapnel?
Yeah. Why?
Shrapnel in the leg bone. He probably limped.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. Well, so long, Inspector. I'm going to pick up my wife, take her home. It's been a long night.
So long. Give her my best, will you?
Right.
Where are we going, Nick?
Back to the hotel, my sweet. Pack our bags and take a nice trip somewhere.
A trip? Oh, no.
My soul, woman, I gave you 3 murders and you aren't satisfied.
I want you to stay and find one.
I did find him.
What do you mean?
He was down in the shop.
Yes.
It was his body that was buried there.
Wynant's body?
Yeah.
But they all said it was Rosewater.
Oh, that's what they think.
What makes you so sure it's Wynant's body?
Several things. His clothes, for instance. They were carefully preserved. And the body was just carefully destroyed. The person who killed him counted on one thing, that all skeletons look alike.
Well, don't they?
Sure. But I remember that Wynant had some shrapnel in his shin. They found it under the fluoroscope.
How long has he been dead?
A couple of months, anyway.
Then he couldn't have committed those other murders.
Smart girl.
Wynant dead. Did Dorothy know?
No, nobody but you. I didn't even tell Gil.
Why not?
I want to lie low till I get the whole dope. I don't want to go off half-cocked.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get the real murderer. I've got an idea. Want to see me take him?
Yes.
You got a nice evening dress?
Oh, I've got a Lulu. What?
I'm going to have a party, a dinner party. Everything from Russian caviar to camembert cheese, an orchestra behind the palms, subdued lighting.
What is this?
And I'm going to invite all of the suspects.
The suspects? They won't come.
Oh, they'll come. I'll have Gil issue the invitation.
Nick, who's going to be there?
Everybody. You, me, Dorothy, Eric's fiancé,
His name's Andy.
Right. Macaulay, Mimi, Gilbert, Jorgensen, and Morelli.
Oh, darling, what a lovely party.
Good evening, everybody.
Mr. Charles, what is the meaning of this?
The meaning of what, Mimi?
Why, were we all rounded up like common criminals and brought to the sitter?
Yes, Charles.
To eat, Mimi, and talk. Will everyone please be seated? Dorothy, here.
Thank you.
Andy, next to her, please.
Oh, but Mr. Charles, will
please?
You...
Please?
Very well.
Mimi, on the other side of Andy. Mr. Jorgson, over there, please.
Very kind, Mr. Charles.
Not at all. Mr. Macaulay next.
Of course.
Morelli?
What?
Right where you are.
Now, say, listen.
Sit down. And, Gilbert, you can sit just opposite Mama.
Mr. Charles, I have a theory.
We'll listen to it later. Inspector Gill, you and your men will stand by the door, please.
Sure.
Fine. Now, Nora, if you'll sit here by me.
Delighted, Mr. Charles.
A pleasure, Mrs. Charles. Now, we're all ready to begin.
Will you please pass the celery, Mrs. Ryan?
No, I will not. I demand to know why we are here.
Before dinner? All right. I've got some important news. I've seen Wynant.
You Mama?
Certainly, I mean it.
That's nothing. I saw him myself.
Yes, Mimi? When?
Last night. He came to see me in my apartment.
Oh, did he? What did he say?
He didn't say very much. He wanted to know how I was and how the children were.
I'm afraid you're lying, Mimi. You see, I really did see Wynant last night.
Are you kidding?
No.
Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you hold him?
Because I found out for certain that he didn't commit the murders.
Well, you know that, but that's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Let him have his say.
Thank you. Morelli, you knew Julia. Was she jibbing Wynant? Taking dough on the sly?
Well, she don't say she is, but I figure she is, yeah.
Thank you. Now I'll tell you why I know Wynant didn't commit those murders. 3 months ago, Wynant found out that Julia was cheating him and was splitting with some man. He went to find the man, and he did. That man was desperate. He knew that he was caught dead to rights. And at prison, staring him in the face, he took the only way out. He killed Wynant.
Oh.
Terrible to tell you this way, Dorothy, but your father's dead.
Dead?
He's been dead for 3 months.
Dead. Oh.
Oh, darling, don't cry.
Oh.
Oh, I know it's terrible, but isn't it really better this way?
Oh, Andy. Andy.
You'd better take her home, Andy.
Yes, of course. Yes. Come on, darling.
Let them out, Inspector.
Oh.
Open up. Oh, don't cry, darling, please. It'll be all right now.
This is absurd. How can Clyde be dead? You said yourself you saw him last night.
So I did. I saw him lying buried in his shop.
You mean that body?
It was Wynant.
Perfectly absurd.
And the murderer is right here in this room tonight. He's sitting at this table.
What? Who is it?
I don't know. But I thought if we all had a little get-together, we might be able to find out. I'll tell you as much as I know. This murderer is a very clever man. He planned the whole thing beautifully. After he killed Wynant, he wired McCauley using Wynant's name and told him to shut up the shop. Then he took Wynant's body and buried it in the shop with another man's clothes to throw us off the track. He even put a belt buckle with an R on it, hoping that we'd think it was Rosewater, an old enemy of Wynant's who dropped out of sight years ago. Oh, Morelli.
Yeah?
Would you mind holding your knife the other way? You're worrying Gilbert.
Oh,
all
right.
If that knife is missing, I'll look for it in your back.
I'll help you look. Well, after our hero had killed Wynant, he got a brilliant idea. He realized that he and Julia could still collect money. Wynant was supposed to be on a trip. No one knew where. So our dinner guest wrote letters to McCauley, signing Wynant's name, so that McCauley would continue to send the money to Julia. He even telephoned McCauley. Do you remember McCauley? The first day that you came to see me, he telephoned that he was in town.
Well, it must have been Wynant. I should have known if it weren't his voice.
Oh, he was clever about that. He called when you were out. Now, that same afternoon, Julia telephoned him. She said that you were coming, Mimi, to ask about Wynant. He got terrified. He was afraid that Julia would break down and tell. So he went to Julia and killed her. And left Wynant's watch chain in her hand.
Mimi, what is Julia about that morning? If I ever get...
I don't know.
Some guy that kidnapped Julia.
It makes sense.
I hope you're well.
Quiet, please. His plan was still working beautifully. The only hitch was a man named Nunheim who had found out something. So our hero bumped him off, too. But our hero overlooked just one item. The telegrams, wires, and telephones were all very well. But no one had seen Wynant. So the murderer picked on poor Mimi here to strengthen his case. Mimi is the only one at this table who can tell us who the real murderer is. Mimi, who was it told you to say you'd seen Wynant?
Nobody told me. I did see him.
What did he pay you, Mimi, to stick to that story?
It isn't a story. It's true. I did see Wynant. He's not dead.
You're lying, Mimi. But then you'd do anything for money. You were getting a good price for saying you saw Wynant.
I'm not going to stay here and be insulted.
Sit down. You're getting a good price, Mimi. But don't forget this. Two other people were in with him on this deal. Julia and Nunheim. When he thought they might spill something, he bumped them off. You ought to know darn well that he's not going to take any chances on you. What do you want to do? Be next on his list?
No, no.
Then who is he? Who paid you that money?
McCauley.
McCauley, you dirty little... I think that'll hold him.
Oh, boy, what a wallet. Hey, nice work, Mr. Charles.
There's your man, Inspector. Mr. McCauley.
I can't believe it.
What do you want me to do? Wrap him up in cellophane? Pick him up and get him out of here.
Come on, boys. Grab him.
Let me get a hand up.
Nick, you took him. I knew you would.
Yeah, another case like this, and I'd have been a prize fighter.
Oh, Nicky, you're grand. You're glorious.
I'll bet you say that to all the boys.
That. The story of the Thin Man with William Powell and Myrna Loy. I'm going to get them back out here in a minute to talk to you. As you know, these broadcasts from the Lux Radio Theater are quite an event in Hollywood. And among our many friends here tonight is one of the greatest stars of the silent pictures. I admired her from afar when she was doing such magnificent spectacles as Cleopatra. And I was just an extra. Today, she is the wife of one of our leading film directors. I've known her for many years as a most charming and gracious lady. And I want you to meet her now, Miss Theda Bara.
Thank you, Woody. Our Hollywood entertainment has certainly developed amazingly since I was making pictures.
Yes, everything's different now.
As you and I know, before our pictures grew up and started to talk, we had to translate all emotion into pantomime. Oh, you may think you have trouble today, but do you remember the difficulties we had working with a split screen? We had to express jealousy, hate, love, or devotion, or in pantomime, and at the same time keep pace as the director guided us with a 1, 2, 3, 4, just as a metronome guides a pianist.
Pantomime has always been one of the greatest of arts. And may I say, Miss Vera, I have always thought that you were one of the greatest masters of that art.
Oh, you're very kind, Woody. We worked awfully hard making those pictures. For instance, in making Cleopatra, we had no research department at the studio. I worked myself for months with the curator of Egyptology at the Metropolitan Museum in New York. It was great fun, though.
I understand, Miss Vera, you're going to make some radio appearances.
Yes, I am. Oh. And I'm also going to do some motion picture work.
Oh, that's good news.
I'm considering an offer now, running through scripts and ideas. Oh, I just hope everyone will be as happy about another Theodore Barrow picture as I am. The public has been very good to me in the past.
And I know they'll be awfully glad to see you again. I'm sure it'll be a great thrill not only seeing you, but hearing your voice. Thanks, Miss Barrow, for joining us tonight.
I'm glad I could. Good night.
Hearing Theda Barrett talk of her plans brings to my mind some other plans. Picture people are talking about Charlie Chaplin's recent statement that he will start work on a new picture very shortly. Miss Paulette Goddard will be starred. Chaplin will write and direct, but will not act in it. A disappointment to many of us. Barbara Stanwyck and Robert Taylor are starting a new picture today, and I'm tickled to death that I got the job directing. It's called His Brother's Wife. Speaking of Bob Taylor, there's a lad who is going places. He's got a great future. And sometime in that future, he's going to do Armand to Greta Garbo's Camille. Bill Powell and Myrna Loy here are interested in the making of MGM's picture, The Good Earth. Louise Rayner, who is with them in The Great Ziegfeld, and Paul Muni are the stars. And now Bill Powell and Myrna Loy are coming out on the stage. Arise, Bill, Myrna. Kids, you did a great show. You're really marvelous.
What, no retakes?
No, no property man.
Yeah, Bill. I'll bet you're glad my property man isn't here. Remember how he used to swat you with a broomstick when you weren't hurrying on the set fast enough?
Yes, that Harry Alves is a great fellow. He's the most independent cuss in the whole picture business.
Listen, Bill. That fellow was with me in the Arctic when we made Eskimo. He was with me in African Jungle when we made Trader Horn. And after a man has handled crocodiles, sharks, pythons, and polar bears, you can't expect him to be afraid of a mere actor.
There's only one thing I can ever understand about that picture, Eskimo, Woody. How did they tell you from the polar bears?
He wore rubber.
I wore a hat.
Must be pretty tough, Woody, when you have to plow through swamps, jungles, tropics, and the Arctic. I suppose when you call up and say you're going on location, your wife says, oh, yes, location. Do you want the snowshoes or the snake bite medicine?
Unfortunately, she doesn't say that. When I say I'm going on location, she just says, you are not. Anyway, thanks for coming up, kid.
Goodbye, Woody.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Before I tell you about next week's show, I'm going to ask our announcer, Mr. Ruick, to tell you about more about the cast and about Hollywood studios who are cooperating with us.
Our cast of characters tonight: Nick, William Powell; Nora, Myrna Loy; Mimi, Minna Gondo; Macaulay, Porter Hall; Dorothy, Barbara Luddy; Gilbert, William Henry; Chris Jorgensen, Brett Morrison; Julia Wolf, Margaret Brayton; Inspector Guild, Thomas Jackson; Morelli, Wally Mayer; Nunheim, Ernie Adams. Our director, W.S. Van Dyke, and our stars, William Powell and Myrna Loy, appeared through courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, as did Mr. William Henry, and Porter Hall through the courtesy of Paramount. The musical director of this program, Mr. Louis Silvers, appears through the kindness of 20th Century Fox. And now, here is your producer, Mr. W.S. Van Dyke.
Thanks to all of you in the cast. You did a swell job. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Lux Radio Theater is going to have a great show for you, and believe me, Al Jolson and Ruby Keeler are going to be here to appear in Burlesque. It was a smash hit on Broadway and then a great moving picture. And now it's going to make a marvelous radio vehicle for Al Jolson and Ruby Keeler. I think you'll like it. Cecil B. DeMille will return to the Lux Radio Theater in time to produce Burlesque. And you know he'll give you a great show. I've enjoyed being with you all, and good night.
From June 8th of 1936, it's been Myrna Loy and William Powell starring in a Lux Radio Theater adaptation of The Thin Man. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those exciting days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you so.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.
KCEA Atherton, Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District.
with a ceiling of blue, we'll spend a heavenly day here where the whispering waters play. There's a whippoorwill who's calling you by a waterfall. He's dreaming too. There's a magic melody Mother Nature sings to me beside a waterfall with you.
With David Radlauer, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Pacific on Big Band 89.1 KCEA.
Soon be frost. Someone else has found the light.
at your gate. And the song that I sing is of moonlight. I stand and I wait for the touch of your hand in the June night. The roses are sighing. A moonlight serenade. The stars are aglow. And tonight, how their light sets me dreaming. My love, do you know that your eyes are like stars brightly beaming? I bring you and sing you a moonlight serenade. Let us stray till break of day in love's valley of dreams. Just you and I, a summer sky, a heavenly breeze, kissing the trees. So don't let me wait. Come to me tenderly in the June night. I stand at your gate, and I sing you a song in the moonlight, a love song, my darling, a moonlight serenade. Let us stray till break of day in love's valley of dreams. Just you and I, a summer sky, a heavenly breeze, kissing the trees. So don't let me wait. Come to me tenderly in the June night. I stand at your gate, and I sing you a song in the moonlight, a love song, my darling, a moonlight serenade.
Cups and clover, all our troubles will be over when we build a little home.
Mystery, excitement, and intrigue, you want
suspense.
Hi, this is Craig Roberts, host of Yesteryear, the best of the golden age of radio, where
we offer you escape.
Every Monday night at 9, join us as we escape to the golden age of radio.
The Whistler.
Now, gangbusters.
Yesteryear, Monday nights at 9 on 89.1 KCEA.
I'm a girl, and by me that's only great. I am proud that my silhouette is curvy, that I walk with a sweet and girlish gait, with my hips kind of swivelly and swervy. I adore being dressed in something frilly when my date comes to get me at my place. Out I go with my Joe or John or Billy, like a filly who is ready at the race. When I have a brand new hairdo with my eyelashes all in curl, I float as the clouds on air do. I enjoy being a girl. When men say I'm cute and funny, and my teeth aren't teeth but pearl, I just laugh it up like honey. I enjoy being a girl. I flip when a fellow sends me flowers. I drool over dresses made of lace. I talk on the telephone for hours with a pound and a half of cream upon my face. I'm strictly a female, female, and my future I hope will be in the home of a brave and free male who'll enjoy being a guy, having a girl like me. When men say I'm sweet as candy, as around in a dance we whirl, it goes to my head like complimentary whistle that greets my bikini by the sea. I turn and I glower and I bristle, but I'm happy to know the whistle's meant for me. I'm strictly a female, female, and my future I hope will be in the home of a brave and free.
Painted eyes, wearing a bird of paradise.
badger, nobody's sweetheart now. You turned me down and then you went away. There's nothing left for me to do but play. To forget you done me wrong, I'll play a tune or sing a song.
Thank you.